abundance of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy, new every morning. Abundance of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy, new every morning. God, we thank you so much for this time and the fact that we all got here safe. And I pray that as Jessica speaks, you speak through her and you speak to our hearts, and that we're aware of your presence around us throughout the day, and that we can glorify you with our thoughts and our minds and our actions. Amen.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them good morning, and tell them your favorite worship song. Ready, go. And Brenna, can we get the handheld mic back on? All right, raise your hand if you listed a Chris Renzema song. Anyone? Really, Brenna, only one, huh? Well, Bronwyn, guess he's not as good as you thought. Well, good morning. Who listens to Chris Renzema? Yes, one and a half of you. He's really good. Who listens to CCV? Is that what the name of him is? Are there any other good Christian artists that you listen to that I've never heard of before that I should listen to? Those are the only two, Chris Renzema and CCV. Well, thank you for letting me listen to those. Hey, if you are a boy, meaning you have male genitalia, will you raise your hand, please? Great. Oh, my gosh, that's so good. I have an announcement for you. VBS. Do you know what VBS stands for, JJ? What? VBS. You were shaking your head. Oh, my gosh. Give him a round of applause, please. Oh, I forgot to introduce my co-host this morning, Lucy May. Everybody say good morning, Lucy May. Would you like to talk to your audience this morning? No? Well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to tell people to raise their hand if they need an overflow dollar. Let me take this mic from you. And you're going to go pass out money to people. So if they have their hand raised, you go give them money while I give announcements this morning. Lucy, one of the greatest ways to make friends is to give them money. If you give money to all people in your surroundings, you will have lots of friends, my daughter. Take that. Okay, so dudes who have male genitalia, VBS, they need your help. Now, ladies, I think they need your help, but they have a lot of ladies because you ladies always kind of volunteer first. Gentlemen, however, we are always slow to the party. And so children's ministry is recognizing that there's a party coming and you're not going to the party yet. So dudes, sign up for the VBS party. You do that by talking to Martha's mother, named Wendy. You can talk to me. You can talk to Jessica. You can email any of us, and we'd love to get you help there. You can get community service hours for it, which is nice because I think most of your schools, you have to do that. Tony's school, you don't because he doesn't go to school anymore. But most of your schools do. And then continue. Oh, that's okay. It's more fun that way. Just leave it there. We'll pick it up later. Just throw the rest of them on the ground. Totally. So good. Okay, here's this back. See, the whole point of being a good MC is make people laugh. You just made people laugh. Do you have a joke that you can make them laugh with? What did the horse say when you ran into the bar? Ouch. Get it? You make a better host than me. Small group leaders, continue to pray for small group leaders. We need a handful more in September. This week, I was thinking a lot back to my trip in Spain. There was a handful of us. How many of you, a handful of Spain people are here this morning? And I was thinking back this week to my time in Spain. One of my favorite things to do, which doesn't happen very often, is get away and have total complete space with God. And that doesn't happen very much, but that's why we do trips like the Trek. That's why we do mission trips. That's why we do Hume Lake. So often, I just feel like in my life, I just need time to get away and to just sit and be with the Lord. I'm assuming everybody's read my email about the announcement that Erica and I are kind of transitioning into our lives. If you haven't read the email, come September, Erica and I are stepping out of Overflow and kind of transitioning into another part of our life. We don't know what that looks like yet. But it was in Spain, getting away with the Lord, where I got so much clarity from God. And so because of that, I wanted to show our Spain video because I was thinking of Spain this week. So here is kind of a little video of our trip to Spain if you haven't seen it. Don't worry. Brenna's new back there. She's still learning. She's a filler this morning. We are looking for AV people for next year, though. Chris Ranzema, by the way.
We've seen the glory of the Lord rise, with broken lives restored, but not by governments nor fire. Touch of heaven's hands mend the bones and hearts of men, but not by medicine nor idols. We have tasted mercy undeserved, bought for the children of the earth, but not by silver nor by gold, but by the one who left his throne. Oh, we've seen graves and oceans bow before human feet. Dawn is breaking now, darkness must retreat, for the Son of God, he walks among us.
Let's pray this morning as we head in. My hope this morning is that we give space to the Lord. Space is so important to be able to sit, if it's walking across Spain or if it's coming on a Sunday morning and just giving our hearts and our minds space to be able to hear from God. And as I get older in my faith and I grow, I realize that we hear from God in so many different ways. And you want to know one of the biggest ways we hear from God is through his word. It's one of the greatest ways that God speaks to us. And so if you ever get kind of in the season of life where you feel like God's not speaking to me, pick up your Bible, because this is one of the best ways. And he speaks to us in so many ways, but it's one of the great ways that he speaks to us. So let me pray as we enter in, as Jess comes up this morning, and we close out a five-week series we've been doing in the book of Acts. Luke did the first 3 weeks. Jessica's been doing the last 2 weeks. So excited to kind of close out the book of Acts this morning as we end the month of June. So let's pray as we get into God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that you can come and give us space. Lord, as you gave space to the Spain team, Lord, as they got to sit and walk with you for 2 weeks, Lord, would you give us space this morning as we sit, as Jessica teaches your word, give us space this morning. In your name, amen.
Mic's on. Awesome. Well, hey, what's up, guys? I bought a car this weekend. That's kind of cool. Kind of random. I have been driving this truck since 2009, but it was a 2003, which some of you weren't even born in 2003, right? Anyone? That's where JJ's in the back, like, I fall into that. Yeah, so I've been driving that truck for a really long time. No AC, no radio, and it was just not good. So I got a new car. That's exciting. Like Chad said, we are in week 5 of our Understanding Acts series, and I'm really excited. And I hope that this series has not only opened your guys' eyes to what the book of Acts is all about, but it's also given you a deeper understanding of who God is and who we are and how we have a beautiful connection between the two of us. And so I'm really excited for what today holds. We're talking through a topic that I myself have been trying to figure out in my 28 years of life of what does faithfulness look like? And that's what we're diving into today. We are going to be looking at just one chapter in the book of Acts, but we're also going to be doing something really fun, and we're going to have a little Q&A with an alumni at the end of the teaching time, which I'm really excited about, because I want you guys to not only be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. So not just people who come to church on Sundays, but people who are actually living out their faith in their lives each and every day. And so my hope is that this Q&A is just a way for you guys to learn practical ways to live a life of faithfulness. So I'm really excited for that. Let's take just a moment to recap the first 4 weeks of the book of Acts. And so in week one, we talked about the here and now. Luke called it the already not yet, where the kingdom of God is already here on earth because of who Jesus is and his gift of the cross. But also, we have the really awesome opportunity of ushering the kingdom to come in right now through our words and our deeds and sharing the gospel here on earth. Second week, we talked about Philip and the eunuch, which is a really kind of crazy story of this guy who is a eunuch who does not have the male genitalia like Chad was talking about earlier. So there's that. So in Jewish tradition, they believed that only the Jews were God's chosen people, the Israelites. And so this man being a eunuch, because he was culturally different and physically different than a lot of them, he was not able to worship the God that he had come to know and love. And so he was turned away from worship, and he's journeying back home, and he meets Philip, and Philip introduces this idea of the gospel is open to everyone, regardless of race and gender, regardless of your cultural upbringing, but the gospel is open to anyone who wants to accept it. Week three, we met this guy named Paul, who was once called Saul. And Paul is one of the founders of early Christianity. He's the author of 13 books of the Bibles. It's the letters to the churches. So 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wrote the book of James, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So all of those letters in the Bible, Paul is the one who wrote those. And he is one of the most influential voices in our Christian faith. But before he was those things and before he wrote those letters, he was persecuting Christians. We're going to read today that he was one of the ones who would go to the trials of Christians and he would cast his vote for them to be put to death. And he goes through in chapter 26 that we're going to be camping out in today about how he was the Jew of Jews. He lived by the letter of the law. He was a Pharisee, and he was the strictest Pharisee we'll see, he calls himself. And so he went from a person who was murdering to a person who was sold out for Jesus. And we saw just this difference of life that he experienced through his conversion. And then last week, we talked through Paul's missionary journeys. And, oh, there we go. We saw that the gospel is open to everyone, that as believers, we are called to maintain our integrity at all times, that regardless of if we're at school or on the sports field or at home or at church, our lives are supposed to be the same, and it's supposed to be pointing others to who God is. And then we looked at God's sovereignty and protection at all times in our lives. And it's here where we're going to jump into this idea of what is faithfulness in our lives. And as I was planning and prepping for this week, I realized I didn't know what faith actually is. Like, yeah, I have faith in Jesus. Okay, but what does that actually mean? So I want to ask you guys, how do you define faith? Micah?
The reality of what is hoped for, or the proof of what is not seen.
Yeah, where do you find that in Scripture? Do you remember? Good job. Good job. Yeah. The reality of things that we cannot see, but the things that we hope for. JJ, were you raising your hand as well?
Yeah.
No, what were you going to say?
I was just going to be like loyal to something.
Yeah. Loyalty. That's awesome. Anyone else? What is faith? How do you define faith? So the Google definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So faith is an assured proof. What Micah said comes from Hebrews 11:1. It's steady, it's unwavering. It's this full confidence in what you believe. It's this full confidence, this unwavering trust in someone. And we see all throughout the Bible people who have faithfulness and people who don't have faith. We see the disciples, how they were so faithful to Jesus and following him. But we also see examples of how they were unfaithful to him. We think of Peter denying Jesus 3 times. We think of people saying like, no, I don't know who that guy is, or not being bold with their words. We see all throughout history people who are willing to give up their lives for something that they believe in. And so we are going to spend some time today just talking through what a life of faithfulness looks like. And in Acts 26, we see this idea of faithfulness through our speech, the words we say, and faithfulness in the way we live our lives. Have you ever had someone say something bad about you? Have you ever had someone say something behind your back that was really hurtful? Have you ever had someone affirm you and it was so spot on to what you needed that you were just blown away? In the book of James, it says, our words are like a spark that can light a wildfire. Our words have meaning. Our words can either build someone up or tear someone down. So we see in Scripture that our words are important. And so I want us to flip over to Acts 26. And again, we're going to just be camping out in Acts 26 today. So go ahead and leave your Bibles open to this chapter. We're in Acts 26. It's after the Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And we're going to be in verses 4 through 29, and I'll read them for us. And it says this. It says, the Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child. From the beginning of my life in my own country, and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in God and what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. So this is Paul telling us how he lived his life before Christ. He's standing on trial right now, and he's giving this guy, King Agrippa, just who he was before he met Christ. In verse 12 it says, and on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus, with the authority and commission of the chief priests. By noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic or Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and witness of what you will have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to this vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me see to this very day, so I stand here to testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "Why are you out of your mind, Paul?" he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." So we see, that was a lot to read. I understand that. But we see that Paul's on trial, like I said. And what's really cool is that in Acts 9, it says when Paul is hearing from Jesus, God tells him that he is going to stand in front of the lowest and the highest, peasants and kings, Jews and Gentiles, and share the good news with them. So this is a fulfillment of prophecy right here. And I didn't know that till I was studying, and it's super cool to see how in just a few chapters, a fulfillment of prophecy is happening. So Paul's standing, and he's giving a defense. This is one of his final trials before he's sentenced to exile, and we see that this guy, King Agrippa, apparently, we don't know too much about him. He's a historical figure at the time. He's a king. He knows and understands a little bit about being a Pharisee. And so Paul is living faithfully in his speech. And that's our first point. And we see this in the big section of Acts 22 through 29. And we just see that Paul is saying, "I'm not disobedient. I'm faithfully sharing what God has told me to share because of who he is and what he's done in my life. I have to share the good news with you." How do you guys think Paul was faithful in his speech? With your knowledge of the whole Bible, where are some examples that you can pull from of Paul's faithfulness in speech? This was hard for me to answer too. So in a few other places in scripture, 2 Timothy, he's writing this letter to Timothy, and in 2:15 it says, "Don't be ashamed, but rightly handle the word of God." So don't be ashamed when you're at school with your friends. But if God gets brought up in the conversation, what does it look like to faithfully live out the gospel through your speech? It means not being ashamed and rightly handling the word of God, rightly presenting with truth and love who God is and what he's done. We also see in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul saying that Christ sent him to preach the good news. God gave Paul that command to share verbally, to live faithfully through his words, the good news. a really practical way, which is what I want to do today, is get super practical with you guys, is this. I want you to finish the sentence. You all know this. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So what does it look like as Christians, as people who are following Jesus, to live faithfully through our words? I have a story, and this happened my sophomore year of college. So my RA freshman year, her name was Kelly, and I just thought the world of her. I thought she was super awesome. She poured into me. She prayed for me. She prayed with me. And she shared a lot about who Jesus was in her life and how he had changed her. So Kelly and I are driving back to Arizona, and it's just the two of us in the car. She was speaking at an event that my mom was putting on, so I was going to support both of them. And Kelly had dated a friend that I grew up with in Arizona. And so they had broken up, like a lot of relationships do. And we're driving. I stop at the gas station, and I realize I have a text message. So I open it up. Kelly's best friend, her name was Jess E. Kelly called me Jess. I think some of you can understand where this is going. So I open this text message from Kelly, and I'm like, it's weird. She texted me, like, we're in the car together. Why didn't she just say something to me? It says, I cannot stand her. I can't believe I'm sitting in a car with her. She is the worst person ever. So we get back in the car, and I'm like, okay, we have 4 hours left in this drive, and it's just the two of us. So I go, I think you sent the text to the wrong Jess. And she goes, yeah, I realize that. In an instant, I lost respect for someone who I respected so much based on the words she said. Our words have meaning, and our words either point people to Jesus or away from Jesus. So where are your words pointing people? I also, I have another story where I met this girl named Megan, and we were in college, and I thought Megan was super awesome. I gave her this journal, and on each page, there was a different prompt for her to do. And I really, to this day, have no idea why I did that. It was super random. But on each page, there was either a note from me or something to do, a passage of scripture to read. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago that I get a text from Megan, and she said, I need you to know your words saved my life. I was in a period of deep and dark depression, and I had suicidal thoughts. And because of the scripture that you spoke through that journal, I saw Jesus in that journal. And that gives me chills, because, and that's not me saying anything great about myself, but how we live and how we talk point people to Jesus or away from Jesus. So where are your words pointing people? And that takes us to our next point, is that we live faithfully in our lives. And we see this in Acts 26:12-22. And I pointed this out. We also see this when Paul is talking about who he was before Christ. He was living faithfully to what he thought was true and right. But it wasn't until he met Jesus where he truly understood what was true and right and how to live his life. And so he was, you know, talking with King Agrippa, and he finally says, I was not disobedient to this vision from heaven, King Agrippa. I lived my life right because of what scripture taught me. I live my life faithfully because of who Jesus created me to be. And because I met Jesus, I live differently now. And that's in verse 19. How did Paul live faithfully with his life? Paul not only knew how to share the gospel with his words, but he knew how to share the gospel with how he lived through his actions and what he did to people. And so we see this in 2 Timothy 4:6, where this is right before he is going into exile. He is writing a letter, and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. I did all these things because this is faithfulness. I did all these things because this is what is right and true. In Philippians 1, 18 through 30, that's a big chunk of scripture. It talks about advancing the gospel and making Christ known through our lives. The daily acts that we do, just like our words, either are pointing people to Jesus or away from Jesus. And I think it's really safe to say that through reading scripture, Paul's life was lived faithfully because he pointed people to Jesus. And we also see in Philippians 3, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You can't imitate someone if you don't know who they are. Paul knew who Jesus was because he spent time with Jesus. So because Paul knew who Jesus was, he was able to be faithful in each and every day. Doesn't mean it was easy. Remember, Paul was stoned. He was put in jail. He was shipwrecked. He was almost killed multiple times. He was in an angry mob. So nothing about this is easy at all. But because he knew Jesus, he walked in that faithfulness each and every day. And again, I want to ask you the question, where is your life pointing? Is it pointing others to Jesus through your faithfulness, or is it pointing somewhere else? Remember, we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. And so I want to, this isn't working anymore. So I want to invite up Haley Devarian. Haley sat in your guys' seats last year. She was a student at Overflow. She was here from sixth grade on up.
Yeah.
From the time the doors were open to the time the doors were closed.
You get a mic.
You get a mic.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, you were like Overflow All-Star.
Totally. I won an award in sixth grade for going to the most things.
And so Haley and I have a really fun relationship. She's a great friend of mine. And as I was thinking through, what does it look like to live a life of faithfulness? Haley came to mind because last year she was trying to figure out, do I go to school? Do I stay at home? Do I go and do missions overseas? And so I want you to just give us an overview of what YWAM is. It's Youth with a Mission. What you did at YWAM. And then, yeah, just give us that brief overview of what YWAM is.
I honestly didn't know what YWAM was until I got there, until I stepped foot. I was in this, like, process. I don't know how many of you guys are in here that are seniors that will have that decision of, do I go to college? What am I doing next in the next coming year? But I was in a phase of just not knowing where God was going to lead me. I just kind of boldly prayed out, like, if you want me in college, it's these two things, and if it's not, shut those doors hard, and I'm going to trust you in it. The only two colleges I could afford were in California, and that door closed real hard. And it was kind of this moment of, what am I going to do? And a moment of sitting and waiting upon the Lord and not trying to figure it out for myself. YWAM is Youth with a Mission. I got led there by the Lord. And it was months of just prayer and trusting that he's going to bring me there financially, emotionally, and spiritually. YWAM is all over the U.S., all over the world. I spent my 3 months in a discipleship training school. It's called a DTS in Kona, Hawaii. Super rough. I got placed there by the grace of God. It was amazing. Those 3 months are spent just, like, growing in your faith, kind of getting raw before the Lord, and just being so vulnerable to let him transform your heart. The total is 6 months. It's 3 months in your DTS, which is where we go training, and we're there in Hawaii. And then 3 months you're sent out to apply what you just learned. Within the first week, I knew where I was going on my outreach, which is, like, the missions type phase of it all. I went to the Philippines. It was awesome. Those days were just, every single day was hours and hours poured onto others and not ourselves. And it was just like, I don't know, it was just the most awesome experience. And even in the midst of not knowing what I was doing and that it looked different than everyone else and not going to college, I'm here today so thankful that God brought me through that season of the unknown to bring me through, like, this big revelation of who He is and where I'm at right now.
That's really awesome.
So my first question for you is, how did you know that what you were doing was faithful?
Oh, I love that question. Simply, I didn't know what I was doing was faithful until I did it. And I think that just goes to the point of faith takes risk. Faith is stepping into the unknown, and I'm sure we've all heard that faith is not what you see, but it's what you believe. And I just had to believe that God was going to bring me through something that was uncomfortable, that was super scary. I heard in the Bible all the time, like, we know of missionaries, we know that people are supposed to share the gospel and share the good news, but I didn't know that I was going to be used by that. I thought people who are missionaries, were equipped by that, were called specifically by God to be a missionary, but that was shattered. I learned through going through it all that God doesn't call the called to be missionaries, but He equips the called. So I was just in this like weird phase of like, okay, I jumped into this. There's 300 Christians around me that get pretty rowdy, that are just like so on fire for God. And I was just this girl that came out of high school at CDM and Overflow. And that was kind of, I grew up with the church, but that was all I knew. I didn't know that sharing the gospel is actually what we're called to do through the word and through our testimony. I had faith is like putting trust in the one who sends us. Mm-hmm. No matter where we are, God's going to send us, and He's going to use us as a vessel for His glory. It's not us. It's not what we know. It's not even how much we know. God's going to use you exactly where you're at. And I think the biggest thing of knowing what I did was faithful to what God had called me to was seeing the fruit of it all after. It says, like, you know, apart from God, we can't be used. Our branches will wither and die. But when we're in the vine and we are the branches, like, there will be fruit. And that fruit is not from us. It's not from what we know. It's not what we do. It's actually just saying, giving up control and saying, God, use me where you want me.
Yeah, it's that complete trust and confidence of who you're following. Mm. Not necessarily in yourself, because you were saying, like, what the heck am I doing?
Oh, yeah.
That's so good. So during your time in Kona and also in the Philippines, how did you see faithfulness through speech come about?
There's just so many testimonies about just, like, how God used me in speech, which is, it's crazy to think that God used me that much. I think the biggest thing is to make yourself available for God to use. If we stand in a position and says, oh, I got it, I know the gospel, I got the five-finger gospel all set in my mind, you know, I went to VBS as a kid, how is God going to have space to move? We have to create a space for the Lord to do what He wants to do and not what we think we should do. So I think it's making yourself available for God to move. And I think the biggest thing that was hard for me when I went to the Philippines and I knew, like, oh, I have to go preach the gospel every single day. There's a time dedicated to, hey, go talk to whoever you feel to talk to and, like, the Lord will guide you. And I was like, the Lord will guide me? What does that even mean?
Were you at all ever intimidated when people said, go preach the gospel?
Oh, yeah. I was like, what's the gospel? You know, like, we know the gospel, but as soon as it's in front of you and there's a person staring at you in the eyes and you're like, I have to share with them about what God did, and it sounds weird, like, and crazy, and it doesn't make sense. And especially, I mean, where I was at, there was a language barrier, so it's kind of like these eyes are staring at you. It is so okay to be intimidated by who you're speaking to, but that's where the control, that's you holding on to control and not letting God move. And I just pointed out a few verses for this kind of thing, was like Isaiah 54, it says, the sovereign Lord has given me His words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. So from that, it's just, it says it right there. He gives us words of wisdom to share and not to hold on. It's to actually comfort the weary. And I think that is right there. It says he wakens me up every morning. We have to give our days to God right when we wake up. We're giving ourselves over to our phones or insecurities right when we wake up, when it's actually, it tells us, give your day to God. Be waking up by him. He's the one that we should breathe in the morning, that we should seek in the morning. And in Exodus 4:12, it says, now go, I will help you as you speak, and I will tell you what to say. And I'm blanking on who Jesus said this to, but I just remember reading this through, and he's so scared. He's like, send my brother. He's like, don't send me, send my brother. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to tell all the signs and wonders that you're doing. Just send someone else. And God's saying, no, go. I will help you speak. And I think sometimes we forget that the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, and he's called the Helper. And he's called that because in those situations that are uncomfortable, or where we feel like we're drowning, or we're too scared, or we don't have the words to say, that's when we lean and press into the Lord. Because that's his name. He's the Helper. He's the Comforter. So how can we be placed in a situation where we don't need help or we don't need comfort? It is uncomfortable and it's unscary. It is scary. But to give it really practical, you guys, sometimes, and I forget that my story, my testimony is the most powerful thing I have. And it's the one thing that the enemy cannot rob us of, is our story, because the Lord's faithfulness is written all over it. I don't think any of us in this room could say that in our whole lives there's not one time God hasn't been faithful. And it's like, you know, there could be a month to a year where you're like, oh my gosh, I don't see what God's doing. And then that year passes, or however long that passes, and you see God's faithfulness written all over it.
Yeah. There are two stories. One is where you were faithful in your speech, and one where you kind of shied away based on who you were with. Can you share those two stories? And one's kind of embarrassing. This is where Haley's saying, like, I don't have it all together. And I think that's important for us to do as believers, is to say both of, I can be faithful, and there are times where I'm going to struggle. So will you share those two stories?
So I didn't share this part, but for 1 month we were actually in Florida. So I did my outreach in the Philippines, which is a third world nation, and everyone's on fire for Jesus. And then we were sent out for a month in Florida, Orlando, and basically every day we poured onto the streets, and they were like, talk to whoever you want to talk to. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people are white. Like, it was weird. I just came from a nation where everyone you see is like, oh my gosh, yes, Jesus. And then you come to America, and as soon as I think of America, I think of, like, these hard statues that I don't want to talk to. We go out in teams. I was with my friend Erica, so just me and one other girl. We were in this place in Orlando called Old Town, and it's really weird. It's just this long street. It's kind of like a Disneyland vibe, and
it's nice.
I see this tattoo place, and it's been, like, an hour of just walking around and being like, oh, I don't feel like I should talk to anyone here. Like, I don't feel that pull to talk to anyone or do a prayer, whatever it looks like to do ministry. And we see this tattoo place, and we're just two girls, and we just walk in this tattoo place, and there's heavy metal music playing. There's these three burly guys, and one's in his 30s, one's in his 50s, and there's a 19-year-old kid. And I just remember looking at her like, okay, this is where we invite the Lord on this. And we just begin talking to these people, and they're like, they finally get to the question of like, why are you here? Why, you guys want a tattoo? And we're like, no, we don't want a tattoo. And then we're like, well, we're here for it. And then we kind of go into our thing, like, oh, we're missionaries. We love Jesus, and we just want to talk with you. As soon as we spoke the name of Jesus, it was, the way I can describe it is like, there was so much loudness in the room where I couldn't hear myself speak of the Lord's goodness because this man was barking at me. And I was just, like, so overwhelmed. And it was this moment of, like, I don't have any say in this. I just need to leave. And me and my friend look at each other. We're like, something. We got to stay here, and we got to get this man to see the light of Jesus. And it's not us. It's not like, oh, we're the ones who's going to do it. Like, I just, in that moment, realized, like, it's not me at all. And, like, but I somehow knew God was going to use me in that moment. I actually asked him if this one man, he was started to tell me, I just asked him about a story, and he said, nah, man, like, God can't love me. I lived in Compton for a while. I was a part of a gang. Like, I've done bad stuff you don't even want to know about. And I was just like, okay, tell me about it. So he's telling me about his gang stories, and I just simply replied, oh, man, Jesus loves you. Like, God loves you so much. And I don't know if you know this, but, like, your red stain is no longer in the eyes of God. Like, you are seen white and pure. And this, like, big gang member man is kind of, like, sulking in his seat. And, oh, I just got to love on him. And his he was so, like, the way you describe it, he's barking at me the whole time until, like, he kind of grasps this, like, love. But still, he heard this, and he said, no, I don't think you realize, like, there's no way God can love me. There's no way. Like, I've done so much bad stuff. And I, and then, okay, so I asked him if he had any pain in his body. One of the things we learn at YWAM is to step out in faith and to pray for healing because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he told me that he was in a motorcycle accident a year before, and he had metal rods up and down his leg holding his leg together and in his kneecap. And I said, oh, awesome, I would love to pray for you. And he was like, no, man, like, you don't understand. I got metal rods holding my leg together. There's nothing your God can do to save me from my sins or to save me from this pain. And I said, I don't think you understand who my God is. And so I just asked, I said, hey, can I pray over you? And it was probably one of the most scariest things I've ever done. There's this big man in front of me who, you know, praying as a young girl to a big gang member guy is a little bit weird and might sound kind of like, what are you doing, Haley? But I so felt prompted from the Holy Spirit to do it. And I prayed, and this man just, this man just lit up of just, like, he felt physically better. This man told me he buckled at the knee the day before, and he says he's always working on his legs, says he's a tattoo, so he's always leaning down. And he felt this pain leave as soon as the name of Jesus was prayed over his leg, and as soon as he just opened his heart to be ministered by God. That is just, like, a crazy story. We could go into more and more. So that was a story of just how God used me to step out in faith, where it was, like, probably the most scariest and dangerous situation I could be in a tattoo shop in the middle of Orlando, Florida. Yeah, totally. You know, you hear the Florida man all the time. But, yeah, that was awesome. God is faithful in those scary situations. But there's also, what Jess is saying, the side where I have shied away. I was in, it was just 2 weeks since I got back from my whole six-month experience with YWAM. And I was with my friends in Palm Springs, and it was just so simple, but it kind of rocked my heart in this big way. We were walking down the street, and in front of me was this woman, and I was behind her, and then my two friends were behind me, and I see this homeless man out in the distance, and this woman pulls out her cash, and she's like, take it, take it, take it, and he's like, no, I don't want your cash, I don't want money, and I kind of am, like, approaching him, and I'm like, oh, that's weird, like, you know, you see homeless people begging all the time for money. They would take it, you know? And I just felt kind of this tug in my heart, like, go talk to him. And I just kind of look back at my friends. They're just talking. They don't notice this man. And I just was like, okay, let's just walk on. And it wasn't that my friends weren't Christians, but I knew that they would think what I was doing would take up our time. And I got scared. And I didn't want to be bold when I clearly knew that I was supposed to talk to this man. And I walked right past him, and as soon as I did, and I kind of disregarded and said, oh, well, we're not going back, we're already past him, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, like, he just needed to be told he was loved and seen. He didn't want the money. He wanted to be, like, even talked to, I think. He didn't want to just be passed on and take your cash and get on the go. He wanted to be sat with and talked to. So that's just an example of, it's not like I have it all figured out. I go day by day, and I try to be bold, but sometimes to me, it's like, oh God, I don't have time for this, or what am I going to say to this person? Like, and, but I think that's the beauty of God's grace, that he says it's okay, and he wakes us up every single morning to new mercies, and, you know, I think even if you feel like, oh shoot, I missed that opportunity, I should have spoke with that person, pray about it. Sometimes ministering to people doesn't look like physically laying hands and praying over them. It could mean just praying for them as they walk by, or an encouragement.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to hear, even for myself, that living faithfully through our speech and our words is as simple as telling someone, hey, I see you. Hey, I acknowledge that you're there and Jesus loves you. It can be as big as sharing the gospel with some gang member in Florida. And it can be as simple as just saying hi to someone you're passing on the street.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so will you just share some advice to us of how does it look to live faithfully in our day-to-day lives? Like, what are some practical ways to live faithfully that you yourself have learned 1 year out of high school?
That's a fun question. I believe that to be faithful in our day-to-day life, like we're walking around the street, it needs to stem from a place of being faithful in the secret place. If we're not seeking God at home with our Bible, what we listen to is huge too. When we're listening to rap, is that going to steer us off from what God's going to minister us to that day? We need to be people of prayer in order to hear the Lord's voice, in order to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. And that has to come out of a place of seeking God and knowing God. I look at it like, how am I going to go share what God's done for my life or who God is if I don't know who he is? Kind of what you shared before that. If I'm not reading the Bible and I don't know what the Bible has to say about the God who created me and the God I serve, how am I going to go share that with people? And it does really look like it doesn't have to be the gospel that you share. It doesn't have to be even prayer. Those things are so important. And let me tell you, they like touch people's hearts in huge ways. But start small and see how God works. Because when we're faithful to the little things, this is what Jess and I talked about. When you are faithful in the little things, God will show up in huge ways.
Yeah.
And we just have to be available to be used as his vessel. I think it's just being faithful in the secret place, and God will show up in your outward life. And, you know, he doesn't need us to do anything for him, to be used by him, because our God is a big God and he doesn't need our feelings and emotions to interrupt his works. But I think that there's something of humbly laying down and being surrendered every morning to be used by God, and how he wants to use us.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much, Haley. I really appreciate it. And I love just how simple it can be. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we become people of prayerfulness and people passionate about God's word, the more we'll be able to hear his voice and be faithful in the small things so that he can show up in the big things. And so I want to give you guys just some time to reflect right now. And our reflection question for today is, how do I live faithfully? How do I honor Jesus through my life and my words? How do I live faithfully day to day? And so there are a few lines in your guys' bulletins for you to just sit and journal and reflect on what God maybe was stirring in your heart today. Maybe you don't know what faithfulness looks like in your life. Maybe life is really, really hard for you. Maybe life is really, really good for you. So what does it look like to live a life of faithfulness through your words and through your actions? Go ahead and just take a couple minutes to sit and reflect and be with Jesus.
his love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. As we sing Jesus, We Love You, I'd love it if we could stand and just focus on how our faith is based on love and loving others and loving God. And if we don't have that, the Bible says we are a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal, something that doesn't matter, that's on the face value, that has no purpose other than to love. So as we sing Jesus, We Love You, we want to focus on the intimacy that we gain from worship and that we gain from reading the Bible and the love that we gain towards God.
Sorry, I forgot the capo.
Sorry.
Jesus, would we be people, God, that adore you in our lives, in our thoughts, in our actions. God, that we would adore you by stepping out in faith. God, that we would adore you by sitting with you each week. God, that we would adore you by the way we speak to our family, our friends. God, that we would adore you by the way we approach each aspect and part of our life. God, would we adore you? This morning, I thought, was such a great way to end Acts. I thought it was a simple way to end Acts. to look at what does it look like to be faithful. Jess, I thought you did such a good job of just this simplicity of looking at Paul. And when you look at Paul's life, he was stepping out in faithfulness. I mean, from what we read every single day. And when I think of faithfulness, I often think of stepping out in the unknown. Haley, I thought you did a great job this morning just sharing about faithfulness. And it's this unknown. Stepping into a tattoo parlor is stepping into this unknown. Sitting and hearing a big, burly tattoo guy. Did y'all get that picture in your mind? Like, I picture, like, him having a bald head like me, but tattoos all over it. And just this, like, kind of big, bearded, burly guy. That's unknown. Stepping and sitting with this guy who's kind of barking at you, who's maybe challenging you, or who it sounded like is this guy who's just saying, I'm not worthy. Stepping out in faithfulness is stepping out into what you hope is a step in front of you, but not seeing if there's one there. And just hoping when I step down, I hope there's something to catch me. When I hear this morning's talk of faithfulness, it feels as though it's stepping into the unknown, but it's not. Because Moses knew that God would catch him, because God told him that when you hear these stories in Scripture, God says, I want you to go and just know that I'm going to be with you. So every time you step down and you think it's in the unknown, Haley, don't worry. I'm going to be in that tattoo parlor with you. When you step into a new season of life, a new school, a new whatever it is, that it's actually not unknown as we think. We may not know what it looks like, but we know who has it. And so it's this weird, like, unknown, but yet so known. And I feel like this morning, as I sat back and I listened to it, this was the message that I needed to hear. Because I've been here for 11 years, and I have loved what God has had me do over the last 11 years. And the last year, God has stirred in me, Chad, I want you to step out into something new. And guys, I have no idea. I shouldn't say that. I have little ideas. For the most part, I have no idea what that next step looks like for me. I know what the last 11 years has been like. And I know that God is sitting. And again, that space trip was so important to me. Because as I sat for 2 weeks and just sat with God for 2 weeks, he had kind of solidified what he'd been sharing with me over the last year of, hey, I want you to step into something else. Season is done. There's a new season ahead. And I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I'm going to promise you that I'm with you. And I feel like this was a good reminder for me and for all of us as we step into a new season next year with school, with relationships, whatever it is, that God does know. I've used this word a lot of omniscience, that God is all knowing. I may not know, you may not know, Haley may not know, Jessica may not know what walking into that parlor, what that next school, what that next thing is, but God does. And that brings us comfort. And I think that gives us the confidence to walk into that tattoo parlor is God, you know. Jesus, you know. And so, God, we are so grateful that we may not know, but we can have faith because you know, you have us. And so, God, would we leave this place this morning living faithful lives, faithful to what you've called us to do, knowing that you know. And so we lift this morning to you. Would we be people of faithfulness in your name? Amen. Have a great week. Love you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.